Good morning. It is April 27th, 2024. We are in Eastertide Saturday morning on a day that will be very eventful for those of us living in my area. I will talk about that after the news for that way I can spare the people who don't care about that kind of thing. But
what does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Prayers for people in my area in general would be very appreciated today. We're going to just cut basically right to the chase here. We have news from a person who many project is a contender to be the follower up to Francis, and he would definitely be a Bergoglian, and that would be Cardinal Pietro Parolin. Not high on everybody's list of potential successors to Francis, but he's a Cardinal Secretary of State, and he's definitely a name that's keeps coming up. Now, again, I think some of that talk is premature. I think it's premature to assume Francis won't be around for very much longer. I think personally that we are going to be entering the latter couple of years of John Paul II's papacy phase with Francis, where it's just going to become very difficult to observe him because of his condition will deteriorate right before everybody's eyes. Remember, he has access to treatment that most people don't, simply by virtue of him having the office that he has. But Cardinal Pietro Parolin is a name that comes up often as a potential successor, although the St. Gallen group in the background has been meeting for the last couple of years, and the reports from people who would know say that what they're looking for is essentially someone of Francis's value set, but somebody who they could control. Because Francis has this bad habit of, well, doing his own thing sometimes and chastising even the people he is supposed to be serving, meaning the St. Gallen group and their allies. But Vatican News gives us this headline: Cardinal Parolin on Pope Francis's pontificate. No reversals on reforms. Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin discusses key issues roiling the church during the presentation of the new book, Five Questions Agitating the Church, by noted Vaticanist Ignacio Ingarayo. And they don't want to give you the name of the person who wrote it for whatever reason. But part of this is, of course, synodality. One of the reforms here is synodality, which Cardinal Burke called an apostasy by going after the identical, just faster moving German synodal way. The German synodal way was going after virtually everything the same that the actual synod on synodality meetings were discussing. They just were willing to do it without all the talking and go faster than the Vatican was wanting. And these reforms, including liturgical reforms, the Fiducia Supplicans topic, all that stuff is now promised to be permanent changes. The changes Francis has made are promised to be permanent. And I'm going to tell you why that's nonsense in a moment, though. That's a sign of hope. But here's, the article is very short. We'll just go over the whole thing. Answering the question, what will happen with the reforms undertaken by Pope Francis, Cardinal Pietro Parolin insisted on the need for prayer and patience, and said that discernment will indicate at its own pace how to continue and what to make institutional. Although some people might worry or hope for reversals, the Holy See's Secretary of State said, precisely because it's the action of the Spirit, there can be no U-turn. So let's pause here. Fiducia Supplicans, which in practice rejects the teachings of the faith, in practice, not in word, but in practice, is an action of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. That sounds blasphemous to me, but what do I know? I'm not a cardinal of the church. Cardinal Parolin was speaking at the presentation of a new book by Vaticanista Ignacio Ingarayo entitled Five Questions Agitating the Church. The multifaceted and wide-ranging volume covers a wide variety of news and current events, including a discussion of the magisterium of Pope Francis and various documents promulgated during his pontificate. Let's pause again here. The Magisterium of fill in the blank Pope is a term that has never existed in the history of the church. This is an innovation. It really emphasizes the revolutionary nature of the leadership of the church at this time by now saying that the Magisterium of Francis. Now think about it this way. Have you ever heard anybody say before now the Magisterium of Benedict? I've heard them use that term when talking about the Magisterium of Francis. It'd be like with the Magisterium of Benedict, but no one in that time said things like that. In the same way that I've never heard anybody talk about the Magisterium of Pope St. Pius X, never heard that term, or the Magisterium of Innocent III, if you want to go back further into history. This is a sort of a relativization of what the truth is to the being the whims of each particular pontiff. In his introduction, Goryeo speaks of irreversible processes that must be matched by a necessary pastoral response as well as an ethical and moral response. In other words, bishops fall in line for these revolutionary changes in the church. Echoing that sentiment, Cardinal Parolin highlighted the Latin expression Ecclesia semper reformanda, the church is always in need of reform. He explained this means that the church must always be brought back to its proper form, recalling the teaching of Lumen Gentium that the church, which includes sinners in its bosom, is in need of purification, advancing on the path of penance and renewal. I can't believe I'm about to defend something from Lumen Gentium, one of the most controversial documents of Vatican II, but that line there is just a restating of something the church has always said. Yes, the church is in constant need of reform in its members, that we all need to repent of our sins, put aside our sinful inclinations, turn to the sacraments and turn to God and become saints. That's the reform the church has always needed. That's the reform that would have been the actual answer to the woes of the day if Luther had actually himself had the inclination towards sanctity instead of revolution. It's a reform of the individual person and of societies to stop being so sinful, to become saints. And to equate what Francis is doing with that, it's preposterous. Cardinal Parolin went on to reflect on the book's title, and specifically the choice of the verb agitates in Italian agitano, which seems, quote, to invite the reader to peruse the text with that awareness and prudence with which we approach the account of the storm on the Sea of Galilee found in the Gospel of Matthew. Okay, the disciples' journey across the lake shows that every crossing involves challenges, which can be seen not only as difficulties and dangers, but also as opportunities. And these, the cardinal said, are, quote, a part of God's wise pedagogy by which he educates us and makes us mature in progress. Cardinal Parolin then touched briefly on several other questions posed by the author, addressing topics including the role of young people and women in the church, the rise of Pentecostal churches, and the Synod on Synodality. You get the idea. Changes are willed by God, actively willed by God. Changing the faith is actively willed by God. That's Cardinal Pietro Parolin, a true Bergoglian, and one of the ones that observers think has a pretty good shot at being the next pope. That is what was going on. By the way, there have been prayer requests in the live chat for people's various issues, so please consider praying for them. I can't go through all of them here, but please say... offer some prayers for the members of the audience who have some prayer requests. Sonny does say, I thought it was the Magisterium of the Catholic Church. I mean, you would think that that's what it is, but now we're really boiling down the Magisterium to each individual pontiff. I wonder if they would be singing the same tune if Cardinal Burke became Pope, or if Cardinal Seurat became Pope, or some unknown who comes in and tries to restore the old order to the church. What happens? Do they fall into line with that? I kind of doubt it. Along this line of thinking, Pope Francis gave us this headline from the National Catholic Reporter. Pope asks lay Catholics to prepare for Synod's, quote, prophetic stage. I've saw some people online saying that sounds vaguely like a threat when he's saying this, that the prophetic stage of the Synod. This was published, just double checking, 2 days ago. This happened late in the afternoon on Thursday. Now we are here on Friday. And he said this stuff to the Italian Catholic Lay Association, to an Italian Catholic Lay Association that he was addressing in St. Peter's. And the prophetic stage is ominous sounding to me. because it has this ring, that phrase has this ring of a new revelation. And we've seen this from them before, from the synodalists who keep pushing synodality as this, like the constitutive nature of the church, as if that's like core to who the Catholic Church is, synodality, when synods were, there have been several of them over the course of the history of the church, most of them in the last few decades, but even before then, periodically you would have some, but they weren't exactly a constitutive feature, like say the hierarchy or the sacramental nature of the church. Prophetic makes it sound as if this is new revelation and that we are about to have the Holy Spirit reinvigorate the church with some new wisdom. That's what it sounds like. From the article, we get this. The most important outcome of the current Synod of Bishops on Synodality is the synodal process itself and not the hot-button topics discussed, Pope Francis said. The second Synod Assembly scheduled for October, the Pope said the Synod process is approaching its, quote, most challenging and important stage, the point at which it must become prophetic. Now it is a matter of translating the work of the previous stages into choices that will give impetus and new life to the mission of the Church in our time, he told members of the Italian Catholic Action Lay Association in a packed St. Peter's Square April 25th. As an aside, a couple days ago, pictures were being circulated on Twitter of St. Peter's. It was packed, and nobody could understand what was going on. Francis doesn't usually draw that kind of a crowd, but that was what was happening. It was the Italian Catholic Action Lay Association. We're meeting with Francis. But he noted that, quote, the most important thing of this synod is synodality. The subjects and topics discussed are there to advance this expression of the church that is synodality. For this, there is a need for people forged in the spirit, for pilgrims of hope, Francis said, men and women capable of charting and walking new and challenging paths. We'll pause here for a second. Synodality is the mechanism by which they're going to protect the permanent nature of their revolution in the church. That is how they're going to achieve that, by divesting the hierarchy of some authority, elevating the laity up and having lay voices associated in some way with decision-making processes in the church, including on matters of doctrine. That's how they're going to do this. A lot of Francis's so-called reforms are very popular with laity. Again, I showed you a few days ago the Pew Research data that was just released that show that most Catholics aren't Catholic. They reject the church's teaching on all the hot-button moral issues. They want deaconesses, they want priestesses, they want all that stuff. That group of people are going to be brought up to having real voice and real input into matters of doctrine in the church, as well as how the church is governed. And that is the mechanism they're going to use to protect Francis's achievements, even if you get a Pius XIII next. Although a Pius XIII, you would think, go through the Vatican first and get rid of the St. Gallen group and all their allies in the Roman Curia, and then probably start issuing document after document undoing everything, including synodality. But they don't really foresee that happening. It really does strike me that with this language of it all being permanent, they're very, very confident on how the next conclave will play out. Whether that's because of external influence, meaning external to the church, some of these secular governments have been known to put pressure on conclaves. It's been whispered that that's one of the things that happened in 2013, was that outside influence directed the course of events in that conclave. Whether it's that reason or if it's just because they can just crunch the numbers and they've already realized they've got a very good chance of getting Francis II, that might be part of it. But this safeguard here is synodality, giving laity the opportunity to have real input into doctrinal questions. Let's continue. In March, Francis decided that some of the most controversial issues raised at the first Synod Assembly requiring in-depth study will be examined by study groups. The groups are to issue preliminary reports to the Synod Assembly in October and give their final reports to the Pope by June 2025. June 2025. So, the Synod on Synodality was extended till summer of next year, that you'll have the final big meeting and then synodal dialoguing groups, laity, priests, some bishops, will all meet together as equals, which is a complete rejection of the hierarchical nature of the church, and they will issue their reports, give them to Francis, by June of 2025. And then presumably later that month or in July or August of 2025, we'll get the final document on the Synod of Synodality with lay input. See how this works? The 10 themes to be explored by study groups include the guidelines for priestly formation, the role of women in the church and their participation in community leadership, listening to the poor, and the criteria for selecting bishops. Again, every single one of these things has been on the table in the German synodal way. They just wanted to get rid of all the dialogue discussion groups. They just have one big meeting and then they'd hammer out the proposal. But all of this, and the criteria for selecting bishops especially, the German bishops were seeking to have laity involved in the selection of bishops. We don't know yet what Francis is thinking on that subject, but this is clearly meant, this will be obvious to anyone listening that the purpose of that reform is to ensure that the bishops that are chosen moving forward are at least acceptable to Francis, if not overtly pleasing, that they meet certain criteria, including not being so rigid, listening to the laity, having a synodal nature. I think you get the idea. It says, while some questions require deeper study, Francis told the crowd, be athletes and standard bearers of synodality in the dioceses and parishes of which you are part for a full implementation of the synodal path taken so far. Stop there. Now, I want to remind you of an article that just came out yesterday. Cardinal Fernandez admitted that the reason that Fiducia Supplicans was released was because the core topic there, the blessings for the James Martin types and those in Amoris Laetitia style relationships, we'll say, that topic was hot and center, front and center. It was a hot topic at the Synod of Synodality's meetings. And so they wanted to remove that issue as a stumbling block for the Synod by just taking care of it themselves in a way that aligned with what Francis wanted. He admitted that. And this is why I think everybody should be paying close attention to Francis' meeting with his Council of Cardinals on the role of women in the church, because I suspect the deaconess question is going to be another stumbling block for the synodal committees, which is set to meet again in October. That could mean we'll get a document on deaconesses one way or the other that closes the issue one way or the other before the October meeting. Aim for that one probably in the summer, late summer. Why? Because we also have that document on apparitions, which I think is happening on May 13th, because that's the obvious date that they would release such a thing, May 13th being the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. I'm going to keep it relatively short today because of all preparations for storms that I have to do today. But I'll take a look at the live chat here before I go on a little weather talk. Maria asks, are we all going to go to the SSPX? Because I don't see myself being active in the NO Church if they go ahead with these changes. If you've got SSPX near you, they are valid. And there's nothing wrong with the SSPX. They've got the same problems a lot of other places have, but there's nothing not Catholic about them, despite what the naysayers will say. Small Rails once says lay power. What percentage of men are pushing this, or is it mainly women? Well, if you see how often parishes are who the parish committees are, who sits on the parish councils, who often works in the offices, it's usually skewed more towards women. I've seen that in numerous parishes. I haven't seen a study on that. If anybody knows of a study that shows who's running parishes in terms of statistics, email me a link to it. I'd love to see that. Thanks for the super chat, Arlie. It is appreciated. Generous super chat of £20. Gregory says, my knee-jerk reaction is whenever I hear synodality, I want to say the St. Michael prayer. You said it. I don't disagree with it, though. Thank you again, Arlie. It is appreciated. So, I do want to take this moment now to talk a little bit about what's going on in my area. So yesterday morning, I warned that we were about entering a weekend of interesting weather. I ended my live stream. I started at 5 minutes early, had a feeling I needed to. I started at 5 minutes early than I was scheduled to. And then when it was over, I posted my show notes, my links, all that stuff. A minute afterwards, I was holding my phone in my hand when we got the tornado warning notification from the National Weather Service. We had no tornado watch. That's the lower one. Tornado watch feet. For those out living in Tornado Alley, the way it generally works is tornado watch is when, to compare it to baking a cake, is a classic way people do this. A tornado watch or a cake watch would be on your countertop. For a cake watch, you have all the ingredients to make a cake, but you don't have a cake. A tornado watch means you've got a cake in the oven, basically. And a tornado emergency is you've got a cake on the table and people are eating the cake, meaning there's a tornado on the ground. Those are kind of the three levels. And so then there's also different level chances for, or levels for rating things on what you're going to go through. And so yesterday afternoon, it was a pretty normal sunny day here after this. We went to the shelter anyway, after once we got that notification. And a mile and a half to 2 miles north of us, a EF0 or EF1 tornado touched down in an industrial park, pushed back some power poles, flipped a semi truck, and then that was about it. And then it was a sunny day and warm day. We went up to 84 degrees. It was a nice day otherwise. I had to clean out my shelter, storm shelter, because it was leaking. Found that out yesterday morning. But yesterday in Nebraska, they had a pretty rough day. I haven't seen any reports on how powerful the storms were up there, but they had a pretty rough day. And the local weathermen were talking about that in the context of what to expect today in my neck of the woods. It wasn't... They had in Nebraska what's called a enhanced risk, which means it's still pretty low chance, but they had a whole bunch of tornadoes touch down. A couple big ones too, not like EF5s or anything, but pretty big ones. And I saw our local weatherman later saying that should have been upgraded. And I suspect the National Weather Service agreed with him, because this morning, about 2 hours ago, the National Weather Service upgraded us from an enhanced risk today to a moderate risk. That's a step up. On the weather maps, we went from orange as a color coding for like virtually the whole state to, my area included, a big red swath. That's not fun. Today, we're also expected 6 inches of rain in my area. Now that changes all over the area, but my area particularly 6 inches. So flash flood warnings. That's what we're expecting. So I planned a live stream tomorrow morning, but if it doesn't happen, you'll know why. Yes, we have a storm shelter. We'll be ready to go in if necessary. I'm, as a sign of hope, I'm reminded of something the local contractors have told me when they talk about, you know, people who repair houses after these kind of things. They say the more the weather guys talk about it, the more skeptical they get. So we're hoping that that's how it plays out here today, but we'll find out. I've seen the radar projections for where things are going in my town's right in the middle of all of it. So hooray. So your prayers for my anxiety and for the safety of people in my community, not just myself, are greatly appreciated today, as well as anybody else affected by this weather. This is one of those, like every year or every other year, there's what they would call a tornado outbreak. And that looks like what we're going to go through today, meaning across the region, the plains from North Texas all the way up to, again, Nebraska or Iowa. You're going to see a whole bunch of this stuff happen. Who knows? Maybe my area will be spared. We'll find out. But we're probably getting at least 6 inches of rain in a really short period of time, which is the thing that I'm least worried about, because we'll just stay home. But that occurrence is a threat all the way until tomorrow night, which kind of poses a problem for traveling tomorrow. Gregory says, I am in Omaha. It was very bad. A total of 57 tornadoes. For 3 hours, sirens were going off on and hail pounded your car. Was the hail bad enough that you had to put an insurance report in? I'm very curious about how that goes. I haven't done that. Jim says, hi, Anthony, your faithful Australian follower from Sydney. As a trad Catholic tomorrow, I have an opportunity of talking to Sydney Bishop Anthony Fisher. Let you know the answers. Sure. Send me an email, depending on what you're going to talk about. And then let me know what you'd like me to do with it. But I'm very curious, at least, what you're going to about that. Joe says, when I hear synodality, I think it is to encourage sinning mortally with impurity. I mean, when you see the things that they were arguing for, the lay groups at the parish level, virtually all parishes, virtually all dioceses, and every national bishops conference, it's easy to understand why you'd come away with that impression, because that it was clearly what a lot of people were arguing for. Brady Hole says, Marine, who is also in Oklahoma, by the way. So I hope you stay safe and weather aware today, Marine. Chesty Marine, it's a good idea to do that. One thing I'm going to do this morning is pick up a camp stove, you know, a little fuel for it. Keep it in our shelter just in case worst case scenario does happen. I may look also for a weather radio. I think I have one, but I'm just to be safe, I might pick up another one. Carolyn says, thanks for learning about all the diabolical stuff. I had no problem. I don't know how I keep my mind about me when doing this. Rosanna says, we don't have many tornadoes in South Florida. We have hurricanes. Yeah, I'd rather have to deal with tornadoes than hurricanes. It's just like earthquakes. Like somebody on Facebook yesterday told me, oh, I'd rather deal with earthquakes. Well, I'm from the West Coast. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. And well, having gone through earthquakes, when one goes off, it's just, there's no avoiding damage. With a tornado, at least, it's mostly along the path and immediate environs. So I'd rather deal with tornadoes, honestly. Gregory says it's hail with dime size. Okay. That's about as big as you can get without having to talk to your insurance company, I think. Our weather is bringing warm and welcome rain to the north shore of Lake Erie. Yeah, at least there's some benefit to it. I hope that, honestly, I'm hoping for rain and rain early because that will weaken the chance of really bad things happening tonight. But yeah, we're talking like noon to 3 a.m. basically is the is just phase after phase or wave after wave of storms. So it's going to be an interesting day. Small rails reminds us that we have earthquakes. Yeah, I'm in Oklahoma. The earthquakes are worse. Weak earthquakes happen here, but nothing's built to withstand them. All right, there's enough of that, though. Let me know what you think of all of the things I've talked about in the comments. Thanks again to those who supported the Give, Send, Go. We've hit the goal. And the viewer who set it up says he wants to keep it going for until the end of the month, which I'll probably do. But so thanks, everybody, for that. And as always, pray for the church and for the people in my area today, please. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.